This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
And joining us on the line this afternoon is Brendan Maher, who's the General Manager of Are You OK Day. Hi, Brendan. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well. How are you?
Great. And thanks for joining us today.
Not a problem at all. Thanks for having me.
I guess we have to ask the question, are you okay?
Look, I get asked that question a lot, probably more than most people.
I
work for Are You Okay? Family and friends get a lot of pleasure out of asking me that very regularly.
I bet they do.
The truth is, I am okay. And, it really is about the context in which I guess you're asked that question, isn't it? I do know when someone is asking me that. Genuinely, but yes, I'm fine.
That's a really important point, isn't it, and making sure that people do bring it up in context, because so often it's a throwaway line. You know, how are you doing? Yeah, great.
You know, yeah, great, or I'm fine can quite often be an alarm bell because, I think sometimes if you're genuinely worried about someone and you might have seen a change in their behaviour that concerns you, you might have to ask, look, are you really okay?
Yeah,
that's right. Can you tell us a little bit, Brendan, how Are You OK Day started?
Of course, yeah. We were started back in 2009 by the late Gavin Larkin. So Gavin lost his father Barry to suicide in 1995, and when Gavin had a family of his own, he always found it very difficult to explain to his kids why their grandfather wasn't around. He was a very successful advertising man, and he really was yearning for something constructive to come out of Barry's death, and to make sure that as few people as possible had to experience what Gavin and his family did. So he harnessed the people and the resources and his incredible network and built Are You OK? And Are You OK Day, the first National Day of Action in 2009, and it's sort of gone from there.
Yeah, and it's grown. It's huge now, isn't it? I was just walking to the studio earlier today and went past Hungry Jack's, and their walls are plastered with Are You OK posters.
Yeah, Hungry Jack's are our principal partner and a new partner of ours. And,
fantastic.
Incredible partner too, because they have 16,500 crew. Yeah. And, the program that we've developed with Hungry Jack's is as much about, empowering their crew and staff as it is about, raising awareness about Are You OK to their customers.
Yeah, because we know that young people find it very difficult. I mean, a lot of people find it difficult in the community, older people as well as younger people, but what a great way to be able to focus in on a group of predominantly young people across a workforce and get them really conscious about mental health and their own mental health.
Absolutely. And look, the staff and crew of Hungry Jack's have just really embraced, the organisation. And, it's just been a really, really great partnership for us.
And what sort of activities have you got happening this week and specifically for the day?
Well, our main sort of public activity, if you like, is the finale of our conversation bus tour. We've taken a big yellow bus. You certainly couldn't miss it if you saw it from Darwin on the 7th of August, and we visited by Are You OK Day. We will have visited 18 communities across Australia. Really promoting the importance of regular, meaningful conversations. And our last bus stop will be in Prince Alfred Park in Sydney on Are You OK Day on the 11th. We were down in Melbourne on Saturday at Queensbury Square next to the river, and that was an amazing event.
We even had a nice day for you, I think, from memory.
It was absolutely beautiful. I actually got a bit sunburnt, which is a bit of a worry, but that happened.
Oh, that's great. But it says a lot too about actually bringing the message to people, not expecting people to find something, about actually having it in their town. And even that in itself, I imagine, would start conversations that are still going.
Look, absolutely. And, we every year after we get through our major awareness event, which is Are You OK Day, we always do some formal evaluation of, where it's gone well, where it could do better. And last year, our evaluation told us that we need to be stronger in regional and remote areas. And these visits to a lot of, country towns have really highlighted the need for, for these conversations in those communities.
That's right. It's about connection. Zoe and I are involved with telephone counselling services within Victoria and part of a national project. And that connection and people knowing that they've got somewhere to contact and talk if they're not okay is also part of that equation. So I guess the two go together in a way, isn't it? That, you know, your friends and your mates can ask you and then also can help you find someone to talk to.
Exactly right. I mean, you know, you don't have to be an expert to ask, are you okay? And really, a lot of us aren't equipped to, you know, find the solution or solve a problem for someone. It's really about, you know, giving the person you're concerned about, you know, showing them that you care and really helping them, you know, kind of navigate towards a path of seeking help. So
that's right.
You know, listening, encouraging them to seek some further support, and then following up with them as they get through a particularly challenging time in their life.
I notice on your website you've got some really simple but effective steps for people to use just to sort of have those conversations when people perhaps are a little bit in denial or don't want to get into it, and how you can just sort of broach the subject gently and let people know that you do care.
What are some of those ways that people can? Because I think it'd be really useful, you know, for people who are thinking, well, I've got a friend I don't think they're doing too well at the moment. I want to kind of go in there and start the conversation, but I don't know how.
Well, I think, you know, part of it is really initially is sort of, you know, being prepared and, you know, accepting that if, you know, if you're genuinely concerned about someone, being ready for an answer that, you know, might be challenging. So if you're really going to ask someone meaningfully if they're okay, being, you know, being ready to support them, you know, through that process. So, you know, I mentioned a little bit earlier, generally we'll notice a change in someone's behaviour. You know, maybe they're not answering their calls or returning text messages or making excuses not to turn up to social events, or, you know, they're no longer taking pride in their appearance when they used to dress immaculately.
Yep.
All sorts of things that just indicate that something's not quite right.
They're really good points, actually, some of those elements of change that we don't expect. You know, people who are maybe really extroverted or out there suddenly become really quiet, or maybe really quiet people are just, you know, nowhere to be seen, or maybe being the opposite of what they normally are.
Yeah, going out and getting absolutely trashed when that's not what they would normally do.
Yeah.
Exactly right. And then, you know, that's a big warning sign, you know. Drinking to excess or, you know, taking drugs or doing other things that perhaps, you know, that person is very much out of character for them. And I think really it's about finding, you know, the right time to have that conversation.
Yeah.
You know, perhaps organising a time to catch up with them for a coffee or a drink or whatever it might be, that, you know, finding a place that's, you know, sort of private where you can really talk to them. And really, I guess, acknowledging with them straight up, looking at, you don't seem your old self lately, what's up? You know, you look really tired. Making that observation that, you know, will explain to them, give them a sense of why you're worried about them.
That's a great one. I like that. You don't seem your old self, you know. That's a great one.
Yeah.
And it's not judgmental, is it?
It's not judgmental.
No.
And not being judgmental is, you know, it's a really important part in asking the question, and again, not trying to dive in and solve their problems and give them a solution, because, you know, let's face it, we might end up giving them, you know, advice that they might not need, when really they want to find their own way out of the situation and you know, seek appropriate help.
That's right.
Yeah, and does anyone ever need advice? That's my question. You know, like we go through training with our telephone counsellors, and I haven't come across anyone yet that actually wants advice. You know, people might want information or, you know, referrals or things like that down the track, but I don't think many people really ever want advice.
Someone's opinion.
They often just want someone to actually, like you say, just someone to listen to them genuinely, and if they're going to ask, you know, how are you going, that there is that silence, that time to actually really hear the response and be prepared for the response.
Well, I would say 9 times out of 10, just articulating that something's not quite right is the first step in the process.
Absolutely.
Isn't it? You know,
and even if someone denies it, says, look, I'm fine, you know they're not.
Yeah.
It's still, there's still been no harm in having had that conversation, because, you know, maybe they've been so good at keeping that veneer up and they thought, you know, no one knows that I'm having a tough time at the moment. Mm. That's exactly how I want it. But then later on, they might think, you know what, maybe I'm not doing such a good job hiding it.
Yeah.
And maybe it is time that I, you know, took some action to to start to find a way through.
Yeah. Or they're not actually hiding it because people are noticing.
Yeah.
It's a very Australian thing too, don't you reckon, Brendan?
To sort of
absolutely. Be tough.
She'll be right, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, if you look at, you know, I mean, at the core of AUOK, we're a suicide prevention organisation. And if you look at the statistics in Australia, you know, 3 out of 4 suicides are men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, men are a particularly challenging, you know, group of people to reach because, you know, we wear this sort of stoic exterior and think that, you know, we're going to sort of push our way through it and all that kind of stuff. And the simple fact is that, you know, we're just as vulnerable as everyone else.
So
I used to work with Lifeline. I was with Lifeline for many years and, you know, 70% of calls to Lifeline were from women, and not because women have more issues, but because, you know, women are better at putting their hand up when they need help support.
And then communicating it.
And that's a really interesting stat amongst that your experience on that side of things, Brendan, because one of the things that we find at Switchboard is having more women actually reaching out, having more lesbians contacting us would be great. We get a good variety, but, you know,
the stats would be only 20% of our calls are from women.
Yeah. Isn't that an interesting difference?
And wow. Yeah.
And I guess some of the, with LGBTI community, talking about that veneer that you mentioned earlier, Brendan, so many gay and lesbian people have been so used to guilt and shame having been a part of their history in some places that they're really good at putting up veneers about how to, you know, coping in the everyday world, you know, and pretending they're okay when they're not, just to try and get through. And I noticed that, you know, this year's the World Health Organization that's just released their report, they've talked about some of those marginalized groups of people, you know, being at higher risk than some of our general population. We really encourage people to, you know, if someone does ask you that, you know, maybe it is time to know that there is someone who's willing to listen and not actually judge you, because I think it's that preconception of judgment so often, you know, if I tell the person, you know, something's not going well, then I might have to talk about my partner. Ooh, are they homophobic?
Yeah. Well, you know, and it is, Switchboard as a service sounds, you know, like it's amazing and much needed, and particularly given, you know, given, you know, the issues around sort of, you know, sexual orientation and gender identity, you know, do have a profound impact on you know, gay, lesbian, bisexual and transgender, you know, communities and individuals. And, you know, it's clearly, being a specialised service, it's something that is obviously, you know, hitting the right notes for, you know, for men who you know, need to, you know, need to talk and, you know, potentially need help.
I think perhaps the fact that we are a peer-based service, so all of our volunteers identify in the same community, perhaps takes away some of that stigma or embarrassment or threat of not getting a good reaction or response, the fear around someone judging or whatever, that they feel. And also, you know, I reckon an anonymous phone counselling service is a lot safer for some people than having to actually go face-to-face.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think there's a whole lot of stuff around that as well that I guess we'll sort of unfold in the next hour or so of our program.
Yeah.
I think one of the very important anchors in RUOK is the connection that we have with, you know, with service providers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, part of our encourage action, you know, step in a meaningful conversation is, you know, for people to, you know, to find an appropriate avenue to seek help that will work for them. And we all know that it can be a bit of a, well, many of us know, it can be a bit of a minefield to try and, you know, kind of address a particular issue you've got in your life. But, you know, it's great to know that services like yours are available.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, because it's hard when you're not feeling great 100% to really go through that, you know, quagmire of trying to work out what's right. If you can get someone to sort of, yeah, lend a helping hand along the way and perhaps sort out the options for you a little bit, I think it is a lot
exactly.
easier.
Mm.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes just lending that ear and having a chance to get what it is that you need to get off your chest can, you know, can be the solution. You know, it can be the the small problem not becoming a big problem.
And, and that's the key.
And thank you so much, Brendan, for spending the time with us. I know that you're flat out, particularly this week. We love the work that Are You OK does. It reminds people about, you know, putting mateship back on the map and how important it is for us to inspire those conversations that are really meaningful on a day-to-day basis, not just once a year, but every day of the year. So thank you so much for your time today.
That's a pleasure, Leanne and Zoe. Thank you very much.
That's all right. We'll remind people that they can look at your website, areyouok.org.au.
Yeah, to get any ideas.
Absolutely. There's plenty on there. And, I hope everyone, you know, takes the time to think about how they can be better mates on Thursday.
Absolutely. Thanks, Brendan.
Thanks, Emil.
Brendan Mayer, who is the General Manager of Are You OK?
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.